This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
In 1973, the New York City Police Department created a hostage negotiation team.
It's not up against the gun. It's up against the man's mind.
When you're defusing a human bomb, it's the same as when you're taking apart a real bomb. If you skip a step, it's going to blow up right in your face.
Talk to Me tells the high-stakes true story of the world's first hostage negotiation team. It changed policing forever. Talk to Me.
You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos' yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. Matt Carolla, it's the moderator, Matt DeAndrea, over there. Lots going on. You're getting ready to head to Arizona, right?
Yeah, so next week is the Arizona Auction Week or Scottsdale Auction Week, and going to try to swing by RM to see what's going on over there. They'll be going over to Barrett Jackson. You know, Gooding, I don't think, does the live auction out there anymore. They just do the online auction. Mm-hmm. So their next live one might be Amelia Island.
Mm-hmm.
But it's turning out to be, you know, like I always said, Barrett is great to go and see, but it's a big social event as well. You know, we've got a bunch of our friends that are going out there. Goldberg's going out there, and Courtney Hanson will be out there, and Brad Fanshaw, and you know, a bunch of people will be out there. So it should be good.
Yeah. Is Gooding – wait. RM's online or Gooding's online?
Gooding is online.
And RM, how long have they been out there? Not that long, right?
I mean, yeah, it's been a while. I mean, the Arizona Auction Week was, you know, Russo and Steele was out there, Gooding, RM, Barrett Jackson. There's been a few others over the years as well. I think there still is. I just don't know them all, and I can't get to them all. For me, this is going to be a quick trip. I can't go out like for the week. I just got to. Mm-hmm. I have a SEMA conference that week here, and then I'm leaving directly from there Thursday night to go out there. So I'll be out there for the Friday and Saturday, the big days.
Well, hopefully, I'll see. We're talking before we went on the air. I'm heading out to Dallas this weekend to do my live sort of land cruise with John Popper. And you can still get some tickets if you want, or you can just come out on Saturday night and see the concert. Basically, John's playing all the hits. I'll be doing stand-up. But I hopefully can hook up with Aaron Shelby, because you were telling me the Shelby Museum, or their sort of mini Shelby Museum, is close by.
Yeah, like the Shelby family office is over there, and it's not too far from you guys. So I think his plan was he's going to come out and see you on Friday night. But if you had some time on Friday, you should go check it out. First of all, there's for you more than like if you're bringing, you know, Mike or whatever with you, you're going to be more impressed because one, they built the building. And this is a multi-level with a parking garage,
mm-hmm.
right? And the bottom floor has this kind of the Shelby Museum that's in there. There's some good stories and some interesting cars.
Yeah.
But then you should walk around and hear about like the oil and gas business and the Shelby legacy, and it's kind of a corporate office, but this is where they go when they're, you know, when they're not doing their day jobs, which is more Aaron than anybody.
Yeah, it's nice. You need one or two solid siblings to carry the torch. You know, I was listening, thinking about Lisa Marie Presley and the Presley estate, and, you know, she got $100 million, or it's worth $100 million, but she went through it, you know, and she was like spending way too much, and they couldn't keep up. And I know it's a story as old as time, but it's nice to have a custodian.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because whether your last name is Shelby or Lamborghini or Maserati or whomever, Bugatti.
Corolla.
All the great Italians. You need like some semi-sober, semi-responsible, like sane adult to not, you know, lawyer up, drain all the money, fight with the other siblings and the stepmoms, and just mm-hmm. have it all just sort of get lost to the dustbin of history. Because what happens is if there's not a custodian, that stuff just kind of goes away.
You almost want like a committee or a board of directors to, you know, when you're talking about good quality money. It's funny you mentioned that. I just read this morning before I came here that Usain Bolt –
mm-hmm.
You know, Olympian, made money, big endorsements. Heard from, I don't know, his financial team going, hey, you know, by the way, we were just checking and you got $2,000 in like your retirement account.
Right.
And he's like, no, it's $10 million. And they're like, no, they were scamming you the whole time. Somebody stole your money.
Right.
And every time you hear those stories, it's like they always get away with it. You know, it's like a Bernie Madoff thing, and then, you know, what do you do? But it's like, this is a guy that's completely unaware of a $10 million loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the family?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the problem. It kind of breeds the ne'er-do-wells. And, you know, that, you know, Shelby and Aaron especially are doing a nice job of sort of keeping the legacy alive. You know, a little bit quietly, but kind of responsibly. Like, he's not a flashy guy, but he's buying a few of the right cars, mm-hmm. maybe selling a car on occasion, showing up at the events, just sort of keeping it out there.
Yeah. He told me the other day, I saw him this weekend, he was in town for some events for this year. Is they're celebrating Carroll Shelby's would-be 100th birthday party. So there's centennial celebration throughout the year. Aaron's going to come in to CarCast. He's going to come in February 1st after Barry Jackson to get into some of the events. But I saw him, and he said he's not buying any more cars right now. And I was like, all right, I'll see you at Barry Jackson. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just feel like, you know, he knows when to hold up and he knows when to fold up and he knows, you know, when it's a good time to buy and when it's time to sort of keep quiet. And they just do a nice, quiet, solid, steady job. You know, I think you were talking about getting a, you know, panel together to essentially run your corporation, you know, after you're gone. I think that's what Paul Newman did. I think Newman sort of said, I don't want the crazy kids fucking up the brand and arguing over it and blah, blah, blah. So I'll have this guy, sort of a third party guy. He'll be the custodian of Newman's Own and blah, blah. And then, of course, they went to war with that guy. And it almost can go no other way, which is sad. It's like a sad testimonial to the human condition.
Yeah.
But it almost can't go the other way. Now, you and I don't have that problem with our immediate family because my mom sold the house her mom gave her and then moved into her mom's house after she died. And now my mom's gone and my stepdad just lives in the house that mom when mom passed, he's in his mother-in-law's house in the valley.
Yeah.
And God knows where it's going after that, if it's going anywhere. But the point is really nothing to argue over.
Right.
I don't know. I would like to think that I would be a decent person in these situations, but I don't know. Like, if I were 19 and, you know, sort of set for life, and then just having to argue over money as my full-time job, argue over the estate, I don't know. Maybe I would just slide into that sinkhole. Like, you know, I used to, years ago when Molly Ringwald was like the biggest celebrity on the planet, and she was like 19 and a half, and people be like, she's changed, or that's not the old Molly, or she's different now. And I'm like, if you were 19 and making millions of dollars and on the cover of Time and Life magazine, like the same month, at 19, would you just be the same old dude from Florida working
also,
on the
like,
Mustang?
What do you mean she's changed? But when she was 15, she was a completely different person. Like, of course, it's literally what's happening is change.
I know.
Look, if you're smart and you're a Shelby family member, then you are successful in your own right without that. But yes, maybe it makes a difference if you are a trust fund kid and relied on that you know, for lack of a better term, that free money every month, and then that got cut off somehow.
Yeah.
I think that would throw a wrench.
It's also
unless you're 55, somebody passed away, and now there's some cash coming in, but now there's other people arguing for their fair share of that cash. Well, you had zero.
Yeah.
From, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm also here to tell everyone when they do this thing, like where they go, Lisa Marie Presley's spending $100,000 a month on rent and, you know, food and, you know, maintenance and blah, blah, blah. And they go, $100,000 a month. You can easily do that.
Yeah.
Very easily. I'm here to tell you. This is basically, it's like saying, you know, you live in Los Angeles, you know, $100,000 a month, you know, it's $1.2 million a year, which means, you know, before taxes, you got to make $2.5 million a year.
Right.
It's very easy to live in Los Angeles, make $2.5 million a year and owe taxes at the end of the year or not have enough or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's very easy to slide down that, that rabbit hole.
And you look at the home prices, you look at the mortgages and, you know, and if you didn't have the cash for the down payment and you're financing that as well, then all of a sudden you're, you know, $20,000-$30,000 a month just on that.
Easy.
You know? Yeah. But, you know, you were talking about whether you're making the money or the money's kind of given to you. And this has come up before, right? You're talking about, I forgot which car it was, but, you know, like, I think it's Wayne Carini sitting next to somebody that, you know, basically inherited a car and it's going for $30 million and someone's pissed off about it because the free $30 million
was $37 million. Yeah, that was the son. All right, so let me try to figure that car out. That was the son of the first Ferrari importer,
right?
Who did the NART team, the North American Racing Team? I think those like NART Ferraris. And that guy, and I'll think of his damn name, or I'll ask Amy or Ben, who the hell started North American Racing Team Ferrari? Dave's one of those names. It's at the tip of my tongue. But anyway, Luigi Canetti.
Canetti. I was thinking Canetti in my head.
Yes.
I was like, it's not that, though. But yeah,
Luigi Canetti. And then his son, his 70-year-old son at some point, still, it was an episode of Wayne Carini. It's a 5-6 years ago. We've talked about it. But he had that car, which was pretty beautiful. It was a predecessor to the Dino, but it was like, it was mid-engine like a Dino, but I think it was like a dry sump V8, you know, mm-hmm. Ferrari racing motor. And I think it had a center seat and one to the right and one to the left. I think like the McLaren F1. up. And yeah. I think it was a center seat car with a mid-engine V8, you know, racing, whatever. Looked pretty much like a Dino. It's like a white Dino. And they brought that thing to auction. And it was like a gift from Ferrari, I think, to, you know, a Canetti who'd set up a dealership in North America and was selling Ferraris out here. And I think Luigi Canetti won Le Mans as well in probably the mid or early 50s or something as a Ferrari driver. And I think that's why Ferrari said, yeah, I will bestow these dealerships or give you the right to open dealerships in North America, maybe first in New York. I can't recall. But the son, who's a serious guy. So I guess Ferrari then, sometime before the Dino came out, maybe in 66 or something. I don't know, the Dino 67, 68 is in there. I don't know if the first one was. Maybe 69, like later 60s, but I'm pretty sure this thing predated the Dino, but it had a lot of Dino features to it. Gave them the car, and it just stayed in the family, you know?
Yeah.
And then they, Dino 67, first Dino. Well, a little earlier than I thought, although I was dead nuts on pretty much. Although I don't know. I don't think you could find a 67 Dino to buy. Like, that may have just been.
Because they ran the first 67 to 74, so it's a good run.
You'd have a hard time, I think, finding a 67 Dino, but maybe I'm making that up. Still one of the best shaped cars ever. It's like the first car I fell in love with.
The 67 through 69 Dinos, which were the 206 GT, 152 produced.
Yeah, and probably even less in 67. For sure less, but I mean maybe considerably less. Anyway, the family, the Canetti family had it. Now the guy's 68 and it's time to sell. They always give the story of like, we love this car. My dad loved this car, but it's time for someone else to enjoy it. And it's like, well, it's time for you to get $30 million. Yeah. Is what time it is. It always cracks me up when someone sells a car. Just sell the car. I don't need to hear about why you don't want to sell the car or why you don't need to sell the car. It's funny, when Walter Payton's son sold his turbo Porsche, he was like, I love this car. My dad left it to me, and my dad told me to keep it forever. Now it's time for someone else to enjoy it. It's like, or now it's time for you to get $160,000.
By the way, he ran 12 consecutive Le Mans races.
Canetti did.
Canetti. Three outright wins.
From 1948 to 1960.
I'd have to look up the name. His life was 1901 to 94. So, yeah, he's probably in.
Yeah. So that car goes to auction. And what Matt's referring to is something I brought up some years ago famously is, when the thing stalls out at like $24 million, the son he's got a look. He's fit to be tied. He's got a look of disgust on his face. Like, what?
So disappointed.
What's the world come to? This is a travesty. I he's like looking at Wayne. He's looking at the auctioneer and it's like, oh, come on, let's go. I'll see you at the bar.
Let's just leave.
This car that was given to me. I mean, not even $25 million. Yeah.
even $25 million. But also, it's
Canetti race Le Mans from 32 to 53? That's not 12 years. Wow. All right. That's a lot.
No, he ran 12 consecutive Le Mans.
I would have bumped the number up earlier if I knew he ran that. He ran 21 times or thereabouts. Wow. Yeah. Back when it was pretty damn dangerous. That car? Did that car sell?
Okay, so when he walks away from whatever, you know, tens of millions of dollars, does he have $200,000 in the bank at home, or has he got another $40 million in the bank at home? Like, at what point does the number upset you? Like, where are you in your life that $20-25 million windfall on a car you got for free upset you?
I don't know. I would imagine, I mean, his family and his dad and everything was really successful with like Ferrari dealerships in North America, and they must have had to like franchise those. You know, there must be something coming in from Ferrari of Orange County or something to the Canetti family, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, the problem with these deals is some of them are totally sweet, and then some of them are, I got fucked. You know, it's kind of like the record industry.
Right.
Like, I gave away all the publishing for $90, you know.
Right. And,
Or you're the
publisher going, hey, I make money on this for life.
Right? Yeah, or, you know, I wrote the theme to The Tonight Show, and I get paid every night, you know. Like, yeah. It's got a wide swath. But maybe Ben can figure out that car. It was a white.
It's really about the old man Luigi, though, right? Because from 1901 to 94, what kind of wealth or income, you know, that mailbox money can he hand down to the family?
He may have outpaced even the great Jim Carolla in terms of wealth and accumulation of property and assets, maybe. I don't know. I mean, my dad has that flugelhorn, so we gotta back that out, right?
Yeah. Right. So this car, which looks like the GTS, right, is the GTS that we like? GTS.
Yeah. Which one?
The funky cool car that was on the poster of Pebble a couple of years ago or 2 years ago, and we found it.
What year was it? Oh, that.
You know the car
I'm
talking
about. The one we can never remember. Yeah. The Bugatti, not Bugatti, engine, Bizzarini.
Bizzarini
guy. Yeah, the 2.5 GTS or something. It had a number in front of it. We can never remember. Yeah, it looks like that. It kind of looks like an early Daytona. Early Dino.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty. I think, and see, it has a center steering wheel.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And it's
got one windshield wiper.
Yeah. Like, it's got a lot of sleek Euro early design elements in it. It's a real one of a kind piece. And it's definitely worth something. It's got, you know, no race history, but obviously a crazy history. And in terms of rare Ferraris, it's one of one.
Yeah.
So I don't.
And what's it actually called?
I don't know. Ben will have to try to look that up. And I don't know if it. I mean, the guy was selling it, so it stalled out at $24 million or whatever it was 6 years ago.
Look it up on Hammer Price, but I.
You know, the thing about the one of ones is obviously. In a weird way,
Ferrari 365P. Does that sound right?
Yeah. So the deal is one of one is great, but you'd probably rather have a Ferrari GTO one of 34,
yeah,
or whatever the number was, because soon as one changes hands, then there's your market, right? But there are no comps with the one of one, so everyone has to sit around and go, it's a one-of-one Ferrari. That thing's worth $50 million. And then the next person goes, I think it's worth $10 million. And then everyone looks at each other and goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you really...
You need a couple comps.
You need a couple comps.
Even 3, 4 wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah. Or just one. I mean, if there was one other one of those examples and some guy in Dubai bought it 2 years ago for $27 million, then... The only math is mine better than that one?
Yeah. I'm not seeing it on the app.
2014, it was set to sell for 34 million euros. Wow, so that's, I don't know, 38 million or whatever the euro was.
So like 41.
It was that much. I was going to say 40, but I didn't think the euro was that. Oh, well, maybe back then the euro was stronger against the dollar.
Yeah, 41.9, so 42 million.
All right. And did it ever sell is the question.
That's what I'm looking into now.
Yeah. What was the high bid, though? If you can't find if it's sold, what was the high bid? Because if they were, I don't know, if the estimate was $41 million and it got 38.5. I mean, or, no, or was it like 24?
No, and he was like, I seem to remember it was like 24, and that's why Kennedy Jr. was.
The bid goes on. Driver, driver.
Driver, driver. All right, let me tell you about Snap-on. Snap-on, today's episode is brought to you by the makers and the fixers over at Snap-on. Makers and fixers, they keep the world moving. You find them in factories, repair shops, roads and rails, buildings, maintaining everything. That's what we do. That's right. I count myself amongst the makers and the fixers. So is Matt. Makers and fixers, backbone of automotive, aviation, agriculture, mining, marine, and military. These guys keep it all moving. I know the politicians are pushing paper around, and everyone's talking about the essential workers, the teachers, their school, their heroes. Yeah, but these are the real heroes. These are the guys who make everything possible. Makers and fixers, not just a job, it's a calling. And they want to hear from you, so you can share your story at makersandfixers.com/carcast and check out the Makers and Fixers on Instagram. So if you know good tools, you're a maker and a fixer, and you know that tool is Snap-on. All right, well, now I'm going down this rabbit hole. I think the thing, well, first off, I mean, who can set an estimate for a car, a one of one car? It's
right.
It's impossible.
And then, how many people can you get in the room that have that kind of money to spend on a car? I mean, we see it happen, you know, and there's obviously, you know, you got to be two people in a room to get up to even $24 million to anything. You got to get a couple people in the room. But, you know, the pool of people definitely starts to shrink when you start getting into huge, huge money like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been 2014. It went to auction. Must have been. Yeah, I saw that Carini thing. It had to be at least 5 years ago. I mean, he taped it in advance. I don't remember when I saw it. But definitely did not get to where he wanted to get. I didn't even know there was an estimate on it. And maybe it got to 24 million euros.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ben will keep looking.
It does seem like a car that...
I don't know about euros, but you're very close with 23.5, it looks like, was the highest bid.
Well, the...
Yeah, because I...
We where did the auction take place, I guess, is the question. I mean, it was... advertises 34 million euros.
Good and Company in Sale?
Yeah, but what?
Do you know which location?
What country? Yeah.
Was it?
I think it was stateside, but anyway, yeah. I gave it 24
maybe
million.
Amelia or Monterey?
23 and a half is where it stalled. And
Monterey, yeah.
Monterey.
Yeah, he was not happy. But Jesus Christ, I mean, I don't know if he sold it privately since then. You know, it's been 8 years or so, 9 years.
Right. So how does that conversation go? Because after sales, private do happen all the time, right? And you go, all right, the bidding stalled at 24 million. We wanted 40 million.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, there's some guy, is he like, the market spoke, I'll give you 28. Or we're like, no, we're not touching anything less than 30.
You know, I think the problem is with zero comps, nobody can – with zero comps, then the only comp you have is the other guy bidding against you.
That's right. That's
because there are no comps. Now, you can say, well, maybe we didn't properly present the car. I mean, maybe we didn't campaign it enough. Maybe the word didn't get out there, whatever. But I would argue that, you know, the over $20 million Ferrari buyers worldwide and anybody who is interested in a car like this, it made it onto the radar. So if I'm cutting a deal with Wayne Carini behind the curtain at RM, I'm just saying – there is no comps. We just did the comp experiment. And the comp experiment was 23.5 before the VIG, by the way, which is going to be a, you know, another 2.3 million bucks or whatever. And I would go, this is what we got. And we're not at, you know, we're not prime auction house in Long Beach. This is one of the biggest stages in the world. There's bunch of people on the phone over there from the Middle East. That's what we got. So we stalled out at, you know, 23.5. I'll go to 25 million bucks. And if you want it, I'll take the car. I brought my trailer.
It's a sad day for that guy. Sad day for that seller.
I know.
25 million bucks. He goes home, talks to the wife and the kids. I sold it. We got 25 million. They're like, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
Devastating.
Just terrible.
I don't know, Ben. I don't know if you can find out whatever happened.
They kept it.
Yeah, but we just don't know privately if it's sold after the fact. So we can't really say for sure. You know, you got to ask Wayne Carini.
It's true. Next time I see him, I'll ask him because it did. In the episode, it didn't sell.
Right.
But they don't always cover the conversation that happens after that. And sometimes they do. Sometimes they will bring the camera in and talk to the dude who wants the Cobra. And it's a little, you know, it's stalled out at 950 grand. And Wayne wants 1-1. And they're going to talk, you know. It's kind of weird. The camera will film them from like 80 feet away because they're like talking in the corner. So I don't know if anyone signed a release or anything. But Wayne will give you like, we ended up doing a deal. But that deal can be private because the other one's public.
And he doesn't have to tell you the amount if you ask Wayne. I just want a yes or no because then you can kind of take a guess. But if I see Wayne next week, I will ask him. There's a good chance he'll be in Arizona, and I don't know if our paths will cross.
But, yeah,
there's, you know, it has in the past. So, and I've always said hi to him, and I'm wondering if I could find Wayne and ask him.
I bet he'd tell you. I don't know how old Luigi Canetti Jr. is now, but he was 70 when they did the thing. He's got to be 78, 79 now.
Because it had
80.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right. Also, Chevy's announced the 2024 Corvette E-Ray hybrid.
Yeah. This is interesting. Listen, the Corvette C8 is a fantastic car. The Z06 with its naturally aspirated flat plane crank, high RPM engine is getting a lot of press. People love it. And the E-Ray. The E-Ray is the Corvette C8. It's got kind of the wad body pieces of it from the Z06. It has the same C8 LT2 engine in V8 in the back. It's the 495 horsepower V8 engine, rear wheel drive. But then they add a pair of electric motors to the front, making it all wheel drive and an extra 160 horsepower.
0-60 in 2.5.
It just goes like a bat out of hell. It's 655 combined horsepower, which is in the ballpark. It's about 15 less than the Z06, but significantly more torque. And so the car is, I don't know, about 400 pounds heavier, but making it all-wheel drive and getting it that additional traction just makes this thing just so much faster than anything out there. And this configuration is not too different than what the NSX has done with the electric motors on the front. You can run it in just a stealth, like EV mode. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the range is on it, but it only goes up to about 45 miles an hour under all electric mode. But this is it's got to be the fastest Corvette ever. I mean, this thing, they said it'll run 10.50s in the quarter mile.
Wow.
2.5 seconds 0-60. Now, the Z06 is like 2.6 seconds. So if you want the all-engine naturally aspirated version and go, hey, listen, that's maybe the collectible version of it, then by all means do that. But if you want the hybrid version of it, this is impressive. I mean, and we're talking, I don't know, 100 and something thousand. I think it's going to come in at like 108, 104.
It's a good price. A lot of car.
And, you know, impressive car, impressive numbers. It kind of puts the other supercar makers like on notice.
Yeah. It's, I mean, we're living in a crazy time where there's that much horsepower and that 0-60 times and quarter mile times and mixed with drivability. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, there were guys who hot rodded their whatever, their Chevelles, but I mean, you could hear them coming down the street and it was just, you know, it's just a mess to drive. There was a Ben, I'm going to ask you to look for a Die Hard battery commercial from the 70s where they had their kind of like hot rodder, ne'er-do-well son, and but he had the Die Hard battery.
Okay.
In his stupid, crazy hot rod. It was American, you know, whatever. And then there was a sort of a conservative couple that was like, we're going to the movies, you know, you work on your stupid car, you know, or something. But of course, the couple went out and tried to start their sensible sedan and it wouldn't start because they didn't have the Die Hard battery in it. And then, you know, the last scene is them driving attempting to drive the hot rod, you know, out to the local eatery, and then they're going out on date night, the conservative couple, but it's in the Chevelle with the blown big block in it. I haven't seen this commercial since, I mean, the commercial's from like 1970 or something. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. Let's see.
Oh, that's so the old man starting his car won't start.
Son, could I use your car tonight?
Sure. Don't forget to put some gas in it.
Every family should have at least one diehard.
It's a Barracuda?
Extra power to start
your car. Yeah, this must have been more like 78.
Sold only at sea.
Oh, it felt like it looked like it was 1969, but and that actor played like the principal and the dad and everything, and even the son was somebody. That son
I was
in stuff too. But I don't know.
Dad, I recognized.
What year was that commercial
for?
That
was 78?
No, I don't think.
Yeah, 78.
78. Yeah. Oh, because you recognize the car?
Produced in 75, but aired in 78.
Oh, interesting. That's why it did look earlier than 78.
And at the end, the copyright thing said 77. So I was like, when did they make that?
Was that a Barracuda?
I think it was. It was quick. I looked at it quickly. But
highly modified.
But it had like the Daytona wing on the back.
Yes.
Like the NASCAR Daytona wing on the back.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Which was, yeah, right? With the big wing in the back and the flares and the Kragers and.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of Corvette summer going on.
Yes. A lot of Corvette summer going on. And that's all the entertainment I had as a kid. Like, oh, I love this commercial.
Yeah.
I get to see 3 seconds of a modified car going down the street. Also, it had humor in it.
Yeah.
So I liked humor. Oh, this is funny.
Yeah. But the kid was like reading a book in front of the fireplace. Like they were trying to make him. You know,
the
not
sensible
like
sensible one,
right?
Who
yeah,
drove the crazy
like
hot
he
rod.
He was the smart one.
But the point is, if you wanted 400 horsepower back in the day, that's what you had to drive—something insane. And the conservative parents couldn't make it up the street. Ben, I wonder if we can figure out the name of the dad and the name of the son because they were both familiar.
Edward Andrews for the dad, maybe.
Yeah, he must have had an IMDb credit that was a mile long. He was every sitcom boss or, you know, when the stuffy client would come in from Chicago and we had to impress him at dinner, he was not impressed.
Yeah.
You know, like he was just in everything back then.
188 credits on IMDb.
What? 188 credits.
His IMDb picture is exactly what he looked like in the commercial.
I mean, he must not have seen 1990 or something.
But he was in 16 Candles.
Oh, he was the shit.
He was in 16
what
Candles.
What was he in 16 Candles?
He was a guy named Howard. Was he a principal?
He was always kind of the stuffy kind of, he was that guy that played in the commercial, like
and he
uptight
was in Gremlins.
Dad. He was in Gremlins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He was probably like a high school principal in 47 films.
I told you that fucker was in everything.
He might be the grandparent of one of the characters.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Oh, he was. Was he the grandpa in 16 Candles?
I think so.
Running
yeah.
around the house.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, because that was like Gremlins and 16 Candles were the last things he did.
Right.
He died in 85. Those movies were in 84. Yeah, there he is. He's the grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was in Different Strokes, Three's Company. You're right. BJ and the Bear, like all the shows back then.
Yes. All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com because I'm going to be in Dallas this weekend with John Popper. And you can still get some tickets, I think, to come see us out on a Saturday night. John's going to be playing the whole set list. And I got live shows everywhere. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all that. What do you got, Motorator?
I think we're going to be in here one more time before we head out, before I head out to Arizona Auction Week. So just give us a follow on Motorator, social media.
So till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare, and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Carolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos' yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.